Hey everyone, Brian Caulfield here again with Chapter 2 of the little-known but widely loved podcast, Lieutenants. This chapter is going to be called How I Got Here, and it's going to detail exactly how I got to where I am now. So if we go on back to the first time someone ever mentioned serving in the military, we'll start with my dad when I was a little kid. My dad served as a Marine Corps enlisted personnel, and he did tank driving, like amphibious tanks and Humvees and that kind of stuff. And he has a lot of great stories about it. He traveled the world. He had a lot of cool jobs, none of which really applied to the real world. He told me that it, kind of ended up not being the best experience for real world application, but an amazing experience to develop him as a human and as a person. And it got him to where he is now, which he's really happy with. But I was just never interested in joining. And he made it very clear to me that I would not be allowed to enlist. And the funny thing was, I never had any intention of joining at all. I thought joining the military would just be a dumb move for me. And then in high school, when I was graduating and I had to pick a college, he was all about me going to one of the academies, the Navy Academy, the Air Force Academy. He said, you better do one of those. And again, I said to myself, no, that's an idiotic thing. I'll never do that. I don't want to serve in the military. And so I went to a different college. I went to a private institution. I went to Fordham University in the Bronx. Shout out to all my Rams. Go Rams. So it was at Fordham that I, first someone mentioned to me joining the Air Force as an officer. It was right after my girlfriend of 3 years had broken up with me. And I was just kind of looking for some validity in my life at that point, because I thought, oh man, what am I going to do now? Like, now I have real world things. I have to get a job and I'm going to be alone forever. Just being dramatic like kids are. Because I'm so old now, I can say that, right? But no, I was just being a stupid teenager, and I was like, oh no, I have nothing, I don't know what I want to do with my life. But I was sitting down for lunch one day with my friend Matt Rivetto, and he was telling me he wasn't sure if he wanted to stay with physics or if he wanted to change to medical major, and he also mentioned that he was looking at joining the Air Force. He said that, you can join as an officer, and there's a lot of cool jobs, and the tests didn't seem that hard, and he was saying it would be a pretty cool idea, and me and him. And I was like, yeah, I'll do that with you. Let's both join. We'll travel the world together as Air Force officers, lieutenants, And we had this grand romantic idea about joining. And for me, it was more like I'm just going to join to get away from this area, since I want to get away now that I'm single. I feel like, oh, I have to get out of here. And I kind of like looked into it a little bit, and I was like, oh, this is stupid. I actually don't want to do this. They did have some what looked like cool jobs for aerospace technologies, and I was like, oh, that'd be really cool, and that'd be a good way to go about it, but I don't really want to do this. I'm just saying this because I have nothing to hold in my life anymore, and I'm looking for some sort of validity. So I put that idea to the wayside, and that summer I worked on a farm in Michigan for about a month and a half, and then I went back to New York, and I had an internship in New York City for another month and a half, and oh my God, that internship killed me. It was the worst thing ever. The farm was amazing. I loved working out on the farm. It was a hops farm with my friends from college. So, I mean, I'm probably pretty skewed with my views of what place is better to work on, a hops farm out in Michigan with a bunch of college buddies, or in an office with nobody you know in the middle of New York City working a 9-to-5. I feel like most people would be pretty cool working on a farm and pretty bummed out working in the office in the middle of the hot summer. But I this is the only experience I ever had working, so I thought, oh, it's the job, maybe I can get a job that has some maybe I'll be outside some. If I have a different job, maybe I'll be a little bit more liking it. And it's probably a good idea, I'll join the military. They'll probably get me to have like some desk job, but also mainly I'm outside doing stuff, like operational stuff. I don't know why I had this idea that working in the military meant I'd be outside, like really hands-on in projects and stuff like that. And I mentioned that to my dad, that I was thinking about something like that, but I wasn't certain. And he just took it on himself to reach out to the recruiter. The recruiter then reached out to me, and I was too scared to be like, no, I'm not certain. So I just kind of went with the flow there. And so the recruiter reached out to me and said that she talked to my dad, which I thought was super embarrassing, but whatever, it happens. And she was like, oh, here, you're going to take this test, the AFOQT, and you can take it tomorrow if you want. And I could have asked for off from my internship to take it, but I didn't want to, because one, I just started interning there, and two, I wasn't certain I even wanted to take the test. So I said, no, I'm going to wait because I need to study, which is just a BS thing because I wasn't going to study for that, and we both knew it. But anyway, so I didn't take the test that day, and then it took her about, like, 4 months to get back to me again to finally give me a date to take the test. And from there, it took another, like, 2 months for me to actually take the test, so it ended up being, I reached out to her in August. I took the test in November. I took the AFOQT, Air Force Officers Qualifying Test. I did pretty well on it, and she sent me a bunch of paperwork and said, you know, fill all this out and pick your five top jobs. And these are all the jobs. And since I had no idea what jobs, like what they meant, I kind of looked a little bit online, but they don't really have a lot, especially because most of it's classified. So I asked her, I said, hey, I'm not sure what jobs I'd be good for. And since you're a recruiter, you should know. The reason I'm trying to join is because I kind of want to have less of an office job and more of a life outside where I'm working hands-on with people and machines, and I can really interact with a lot of people on different levels and, you know, stuff like that. Stuff where I'm just not sitting behind a desk being a desk monkey all the time. And she said, oh, you know, it'd be perfect. Do developmental engineering or space operations. Those jobs rarely ever sit behind their desk. They're always out. For the most part, they're working with SpaceX and NASA, and they're, you know, you'll have a lot of hands-on work with rockets, and you'll be on the launch pad. And I was like, well, that sounds freaking amazing. I'm going to put space operations down as my number one. So I put that down, sent all the paperwork in, like a ton of paperwork, recommendation letters, you know, high school transcripts, stuff like that, that I just didn't even know I needed. And that was in like November, December, and then it wasn't until May, and I was already graduated at that point, so I kind of just was floating around with a part-time job thinking to myself, maybe I should start getting a real job, seeing as the Air Force isn't happening yet. So like late May, I get a call, hey, by the way, you got space operations, and you're all in, so we're going to get you an OTS date, which is officer training school date, which is a date for training, and then you'll be shipped out, and you'll start training, and then you're in the Air Force. And I was like, oh, it happens just like that, huh? She's like, yeah, you're in. And I was, and then it was real. And then I realized I missed my shot to back out if I wanted to, huh? Oh, well, I guess I'm doing this. And that's pretty much how it went. I had very little control over the process. My dad reached out to the recruiter for me. The recruiter made the test date, and I kind of went on a whim. And she told me to study and stuff, and I just was like, no, I'm going to see what happens. And the funny part is I talked to a few other people who went through the same process, and apparently there's an essay you have to write on your little sheet. You have to write an essay and put your resume in and stuff like that. I skipped that essay. I wrote one sentence. Most people wrote, they said about 800 words, and it was had people read over it, and the recruiter sent it back to them and told them to change certain things. I wrote one sentence, and I just wrote in, I want to join the Air Force because I don't want to work a typical job where it's 9 to 5. I don't do anything that matters, and I feel like I'm useless. I want to work a non-office job where what I do has a big impact in the world. That was a sentence I wrote, and apparently that took place of an entire essay. Little did I know that essay was a very serious part of it, but I guess it didn't matter too much. There's also an interview in the middle of that just for me, I don't think it was real because the guy who interviewed me was half asleep the whole time. The camera kept falling down, and he wouldn't realize it, and he wouldn't realize that he wasn't talking and that I wasn't talking either, and then he'd be like, oh, shoot, my fault, and he'd pick the camera up, yawn, ask half of a question, and then put the camera down again until I stopped talking. So I don't know how real and how much that mattered, but there was an interview process, and they asked kind of, you know, simple questions, you know, just stock questions that you would ask on any interview. So after that, that's May. Now I'm in. I had to wait from that May until, was it until January? From May until until January to actually get a date for training. So from May until January, I was kind of just screwing around working I had a teaching job at school, so I was just working that. It was 3 days a week. It was pretty cool. I took off that entire summer and did a little road trip. So I had some fun waiting for my class date to drop. And then finally it did, and I was going to go in January to Alabama for 9.5 weeks. So January comes around, and I ship on off to Alabama for 9.5 weeks, and I have all my uniforms, which cost so much money, and now I am so upset I bought it because I didn't need most of it, but you live and you learn there. head to officer training school, and you know, you go through training. I'll go through that training stuff a little more in depth on a different podcast, because it will take an entire podcast. It would make this one way too long. But so 9.5 weeks, and at the end of that 9.5 weeks, they gave me a sheet saying, you're going to Vandenberg, you have like 2 days to get there. If you fly, you have 1 day, and if you drive, you have 7, and you get 1 day to like pack your bags. And I was like, oh, cool. So a couple of days later, I'm in California, and I meet up with my squadron commander, and I get myself all set up, and then I find an apartment. Have to go buy a car, an apartment, I have to get furniture, a bed, and all that stuff, and I'm all set up. And now I'm here. Now I'm here in California. I'm pretty set in. I've been here for about 6 months now. I had my first apartment for 6 months and moved into a new one with a roommate, a friend of mine I met out here. And that's it. So the process, in short, to get here was reach out to the recruiter, take the AFOQT, hand in a ton of extra materials, maybe write an essay, maybe have an interview, and then wait until they tell you to go to OTS. And when they do tell you you're going to OTS, keep in mind that the class date may not be for about a year. So there's a lot of waiting involved, but in the end, it feels like it was worth it. There you have it, a shortened version of how I got to where I am now. And if you want to hear a little more in depth about it, feel free to reach out to me and I can give you a lot more details. And if you're interested at all in the process in order to do it yourself, I'll for sure, you know, tell you exactly what I think about it and how you got then how you're going to get through it. Well, thanks for listening. I'll talk to you guys next time.